Blog Talk Radio.
And will I wonder why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. Michael and I will share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about Michael, or myself, or forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, your co-hosts, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
Hi, and welcome to the show. Thank you, Dr. Tim and Michelle, for filling in for us yesterday. We were breathing people here in the Codependence Intensive. Today is Tuesday, Tuesday, March the 28th, 2017. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. He's with us. Okay, welcome, Michael.
I am with us. We just finished an awesome morning. Group of folks here it seemed like we were together for about a month. Everybody arrived on Thursday afternoon, and we just finished up. Say again?
Anne was with us.
Yes, yeah. So we had an awesome, energetic experience of so much moving, so much energy moving, so much insight through the codependence to interdependence intensive. And then last night we watched a film, which is, I think, kind of one of the ultimate, although it's a little graphic in some cases, but ultimate codependence movies that really focuses on where the real problem is in the drug world, and shows that the gateway drug shows very effectively that the gateway drug for virtually every addiction is hostility. And when one starts to use that, it's a slippery slope until the pain becomes so intense that something stronger is needed. And so we just had a great time together, and we're delighted to be here. And actually, we just finished doing this awesome. Ari created a Caesar salad, which is kind of one of his specialties, with this just absolutely fabulous Caesar dressing. And he goes through this whole ritual of preparation of the lettuce, and, you know, ozonates the lettuce and then breaks it by hand, paper towels it, puts it in the fridge for a certain amount of time so it's absolutely crisp, and then doesn't serve it till everybody sits down at the table and, you know, it's absolutely fresh. So we just had this awesome, and I'm still tasting the dressing. The fresh garlic is pretty awesome. Awesome time. So Jeannie tells me that we've got a hand up, so I think we should just go right to the phones and say hello.
Well, actually, they have disappeared off the switchboard now, so if you're still out there, press 1. It puts you right back in queue. So, we do not have anybody here.
Our hand disappeared. What can I say? Oh, well. Then let's come back to this conversation about codependence and forgiveness. You know, the film that we watched is called Thank You for Sharing. And the core of it is around sexual addiction, but it's probably been 20 years that I've been suggesting to the treatment world that they form an hostilities anonymous group. And this video, as I say, some of it's pretty graphic sexual stuff in this portrayal of these people who are alcoholics, sex addicts, different types of addictions, but very, very acutely portrays although I've never heard of Hostilities Anonymous, very acutely portrays that that the gateway drug is hostility, and that you know, people who don't want to feel the pain that's going on inside of them, excuse me, in this culture, you know, it's admired, you know, oh man, hostility, that's how you stay safe in the world. No, actually, that's how you end up alone, and that's how you drive everybody away. And that's how you make sure that you may get the stuff you want, but you'll never get what you want. And so that hostility is always a drug. It's always an internally produced anesthetic that covers pain. And when one sprays hostility, you know, when you recognize that whatever's at the root of your perceptual mind, that energy is moving in you, and what moves in you sets up an energy field. And that energy field, literally, from a perspective of physics, sprays out an energy. And that energy is going to resonate in whoever is nearby. So if one creates a perceptual world based in their hostility, then the acid of hostility is being sprayed all around on everybody. And most people, they don't know why they're disturbed. You know, you've walked in a room, you've gone, something doesn't feel right here. Well, that's because you're tapping into what's being sprayed energetically in the room out of the perceptual minds of those in the room. And if it's, ooh, I don't want to go near that, it's because it's resonating that in you, that same, ugh, energy. And when you realize that, then once one goes in and begins to dissolve the hostility, stops using the drug, then they have the opportunity to touch into the pain that's underneath it. And with the proper tools, of course, the forgiveness process, that pain can be resolved. And then the drive toward hostility stops. Many people think, well, but I get what I want with hostility. I beg to differ with you. You've never gotten anything you actually wanted. You might have gotten some stuff, but that wasn't what you wanted. You know, why did you want the stuff? Well, if I've got the stuff, then I look good. If I look good, people accept me. People accept me, I'll be loved. Ah, the root of it all. Yeah, I want to be held in a space of love. And what hostility does is it guarantees you'll end up alone. It guarantees that everyone will be repulsed except those who are willing to spray the hostility back, people who have the matching bag of garbage that are willing to spray the hostility back on you, and then it becomes battle royale and insanity. And you don't get what you want, not really what's underlying the desires. So if you haven't run across the first century Aramaic forgiveness processes yet, or if you have, the act of forgiving is the act of going inside of yourself and removing what never belonged within your physiology or your perceptual system. If you've ever held a newborn child and you tap into the energy of the newborn child, you know that what is there is the purity of love, and that's it. The body-mind unit, this multi-generational database, is the thing that carries all the hostility, fear, rage, guilt, grief, hatred, and vengeance of the generations. The child comes in pure, but then the child is taught to identify with what's in its body-mind unit, ultimately building a picture of a body and falling into identification with that body and thinking that's who they are, losing contact with the essence of being. So this work is about learning how to forgive, that is, remove that non-being self, that false picture. Remember, Yeshua says, in order for you to live, you've got to die. He's not talking about a physical death. He's talking about in order for the truth of who you are, that newbornness that you are, that's the being that you are, to be restored to your physiology, to be incarnated in your physiology, means that everything that's unlike that has to be removed from your physiology in order to carve out a space for you to land in the world. If you haven't engaged in the forgiveness processes yet, we invite you to go to our website, www.whyagain.org, and you'll see the first two words on the page are start here. Click the start here button, And that will walk you through a whole series of links. Here's how you forgive. Here's how you go inside yourself and remove what never belonged. Once removed, that's the end of the experience of the hostility, the fear, the rage, the guilt, the grief. And people, you know, until they start to engage in that process, that seems totally ridiculous, illogical, impossible, because, see, I'm experiencing all the pain that's out there. I'm experiencing all the rage that's out there. I'm experiencing all the trauma that's out there. That's what's making me feel this. And that's a total, complete lie. No, you're not. You're experiencing that trauma, that pain that's going on inside of you. And when you apply the tool of removal, then you remove that pain, that trauma. And many people are just shocked. You know, they do this work for sometimes a relatively short period of time, a matter of weeks, and all of a sudden they're back in a situation that yesterday would have been so painful. And today they're in that situation going, where is my pain? I have forgiven my pain. Forgiveness has nothing to do, as the Greeks have taught us, with letting somebody else off the hook for what's going on in us. Forgiveness has to do with removal of every iota of trauma that has ever belonged in your bloodline. That trauma-based self is a self that has to go. And what we're looking to do with this work is to convert every mind on the planet. Now, before you're running off saying we're looking to bring somebody into somebody's church, let's define conversion. We all started out with a love-based mind. We came into the world and the world started to put its thumbprints on us, and its thumbprints were made primarily of hostility, fear, rage, guilt, grief, sadness, drama, trauma. And I'm talking about, you know, I've worked with people who came from good, wealthy family with good, loving parents. And when you get down to the root of it, the core memory is that day that Dad was in such stress that he turned and just gave the most wicked look to that three-year-old, that the three-year-old shriveled in pain, because that look resonated the pain of 1,000 generations. And even this father who's, you know, the whole community would look at them and say they're one of the most loving, caring, supportive, they take care of their families, and yet that three-year-old's experience is still there. And those experiences go so far beyond conscious awareness that it seems impossible to get to them. And what the forgiveness process does, as Yeshua taught it in the first century, is it shows you how to collapse the perceptual mind that keeps telling you the lie and get to the root of what's going on inside of you. So that's what we're here to support, and the whole series of links. Just start from that, start here on the website, and just go step by step by step. There are videos to watch, there are audios to listen to, and ultimately there are, I think, 16 or 17 hours of instruction free on the website around the forgiveness process. And so you're welcome to go and take a hold of that and put it to work in your life. And, you know, if you'll do it sincerely for 3 months, you won't know you're living in the same world. So that's what we're here for. What are you here for? What can we share with you? What questions can we answer for you? How can we support you? And while you think of those questions, we're going to say hello to Dr. Tim and see how the young man is. Is Tim with us?
I'm here.
Awesome. How'd the show go? Thank you for that yesterday, Tim. We were just in the throes of breathing people or getting ready to, and thought we were going to be able to do timing differently, but it didn't work out. So, mucho gracias.
Well, you're entirely welcome, and I think it went well enough. We had an old friend call in. I don't know how old she is chronologically, but we've known her a long time, and Nanae called in.
And
one
oh, cool.
of the more prolific worksheet users, doers, teachers, somebody who really dove in headfirst and with great commitment when she first learned the material and helped take it to Spanish-speaking audiences, etc. So it was wonderful to hear from her, and we had some conversation with Michelle and I think somebody named Jennifer who was there with Michelle, and so we just marched right through the hour, which is what we'd like to do again, have people call in and give their perspectives, and it makes the hour go very quickly when we have questions to answer and new perspectives to integrate. And I've had two people in the past week tell me that they listened, they watched and listened to the PowerPoint presentation by Bill Cosentino and were thrilled. The one person's a very visual learner, and she said, oh, that just made so much more sense than just hearing about
it. Yeah, it is a great thing,
audio files.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't we tell people how to get to that so that if anybody wants to check into that, they can take a look. And if you just go to whyagain.org, on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see a series of social media links, and the bottom link is for our YouTube channel. If you go to that and just look down the list, and the symbol is the icon is a picture of the cover of my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? So it's blue and red. And the title starts out with PowerPoint. And it's just, there's 30 years right there in a matter of 22 minutes. So grab it, have a look at it. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is a wonderful tool. And as I said, we've had some people who are teachers who said it's just a wonderful use of visuals with the audio and the written word. And so, and it helps explain one of the more logically convoluted parts of the process. It seems to be completely counterintuitive, and it explains it beautifully. So,
cool. Fabulous. All right, well, let's check with Jeannie, see if she's got anybody with a hand up. Anything happening in the chat room, sweetie?
We do have a hand up. 541, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Julie from Ashland, Oregon.
Hey, young lady.
I would just like to encourage you, Michael, to know that yesterday's show was a really one of the greatest shows.
Awesome.
Yeah, it really was. I guess I'll work backwards, you know, with Nene's process, and Dr. Tim led her through it so well. And I know he had confidence in her, you know, to follow the process. And she was mostly breathing. And it was just like I could do the process with her. I felt like, you know, not only was I resonating with her issues, but I feel like I could listen to it over and over again and be guided by Dr. Tim's words, and no matter what the issues are, and just breathe with her. So I, you know, experientially speaking, maybe it reached me because I'm kind of a tactile person, I guess. I needed it. So thank you, Nene. I really appreciate your work and hope you'll call in again more often. And Dr. Tim and Michelle, first Dr. Tim early in the show, was giving a really good introduction and sharing very much about his own process. And so that laid the groundwork to really have this show be a great example of the process. And I won't go into it. He could probably do that a lot better, sharing from his own experience. And in the intermediary between he and Nene, there was Michelle, who was hosting with the switchboard. And she and Dr. Tim dialogued quite a bit about what Dr. Tim had shared. So it was valuable. It really, really was a keeper, and I'm definitely recording it and keeping it on my phone to listen to anytime I need to. And I just wanted to say that.
Awesome.
And thank you to everyone for the whole opportunity and opening for it to come through and this the radio show and all the work and groundwork that's led up to it on everybody's part. I think it was a real pinnacle. So, there you are. That's what
fabulous.
Happens when you're not there.
Hey, it works for me. Works for me.
Okay, I'll just go on and be blessed by the rest of today's show, and thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for your call. Thanks for the input.
Thank you.
Fabulous.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
All right. Anybody else
well,
with
that's
a lottery question?
Yeah, that's a testimony to how well things go if people call in and have something that's up for them. So let's give the call-in number again and ask people to call 563-999-3581 and help make the show all it can be.
It's definitely more meaningful when we've got people's questions to bounce off of, I think. That just adds a whole other dimension. So if you're on the phone line and you have a question for us, or if you've been keeping that notebook I've been suggesting, that everybody who's got questions keep a notebook. I know there are a million of them. Then if you push one, there are no hands up. So that means you're next in line. No waiting. No mess, no fuss, no bother. You're just right there. We're having a conversation. So push one. Go ahead. That's it. Reach your finger over. Yep, touch that button. There you go. Okay. Are they on, Gene?
No.
Oh, well, what can I say? I tried. I tried. Well, we're looking forward to, or we're waiting for someone to make up their mind if they're going to ask their question or not, or if they're going to sabotage themselves and wait till the last 30 seconds. But we'll just talk a little bit about what happens Friday. So we're still here on the beach, and we've got about, I think it's supposed to go to 73 today. Got in the ocean day before yesterday. It was just fabulous. It was cold, but pretty cool, pretty nice. And I'm probably going to do that again today. We've actually got a couple of days off. One of the days off, hold the space for us. We're heading into a school specifically designed for kids who are expelled. So when they're expelling kids now, and at least in Wilmington, they don't let them go home because they found out that just creates more trouble. So they send them to a special school where they're supervised under expulsion. And so we're going to get to do, middle school?
Elementary,
middle school, and high school. Three groups tomorrow or
day after tomorrow.
So hold the space for us to do that. I'm excited, looking forward to it. They started out suggesting that we just do, 8 or 10 students at a time and have three different groups. And I was like, well, how many kids are there? Oh, well, let's have them all there. Well, no, they're too rowdy. It's like, no, just come on. We'll feed them and you watch. They'll be there and they'll be there with attention. Was about probably 22 years ago. I was in Bermuda doing a series of workshops, and the people that were there had really done a lot of, it was a small country. They had really done a lot of footwork in getting things around. So they featured workshops we were doing in the newspaper. I got invited to the government offices, and one of the government officials asked me if I would connect with their Department of Education. They invited me into their school. And in Bermuda, they've got kind of an interesting system. The kids are selected by the school. The school says, I want this kid, this kid, this kid, this kid. So the top tier schools get all the A-plus students, and next tier down get all the A students, and next tier all the B, C, D. And so I got to play with the E kids. And when they asked me, how much time do you need? I said, 2 hours. And they're like, well, no, you don't understand. These kids don't have an attention span. You can't hold their attention for 2 hours. These are attention deficit kids. I said, oh, really? Well, let's try 2 hours anyway. And 2 hours later, we're still going strong. Every kid was right there with us and just participating. So so we'll look forward to that happening again day after tomorrow as we work these kids and present food for being, food for the truth of who we are. And it's crazy. We live in a world that few people realize that they're actually designed to function as love, that they're designed to function out of love, that they're designed to have a mind that is powered by love. When you think about what powers a device, if you unplug, even if you take your car and it's designed for high test gas, and you put regular old gas in it, you're going to have trouble. It's not going to work properly. And each of us started out with a mind connected to love, and we're looking to convert every mind that's lost themselves in hostility or fear back to love. Nothing to do with the church. It's about getting back to the truth of who we are and functioning as human beings. So hold the space for us to be in that school a day after tomorrow. And then on Friday, I've got another group of folks coming in. We start a 9-day, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? So we've got that coming up starting on Friday. And we've got a small group. It's going to be a small, very intensive group. So if there's anybody that's ready to jump in and really wants some individualized attention, you know, the closest these days that I get to working with individuals is in an intensive. And so if you're ready to go for it, the workshops we'll do, we'll actually start on Friday. We'll do an introduction. We'll do an opening dinner introduction. Then we'll do the personal code evaluation, then step into and do Why Is This Happening to Me Again, Healing Through Relationships, Communication. Did you hear what I think I said? Purpose, Personal Power, and Commitment and Power to Heal, Mind Shifters, Hands-On Energy Field Work, and Still Point Breathing. So that'll be 9 days of very intensive process. And as I say, it's going to be a small group, so there's going to be some individualized attention, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it all happens and comes together. And just hanging out right here on the beach. We've got a 7-bedroom, 6.5-bath house. Walk out the back door, and you got your feet in the ocean. And that's almost true with the high tide. The beach is about maybe 15 feet wide, and so it's pretty close. And then at low tide, the beach is probably, I don't know, 125 feet wide. So there's quite a variation. It's kind of fun to watch. Beautiful night skies, perfect temperature. So come and play. Come and join us. Otherwise, share your question with us. How can we support you? What's on your mind? Oh, great. Let's say hello to our caller.
954, you're on the air.
Welcome, 954. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
This is
Hello, 954. Oh, well, hey, young lady, welcome back. I heard you had a great call yesterday.
Yes, I needed the support because I was very overwhelmed by the tapping into the next layer, and it was great.
Fabulous. Well, Dr. Tim is with us, and I understand you guys had quite an interaction. So is it time for the next level?
Yes.
What's on your mind?
Well, working more on myself. Continue doing the work and maybe more mind shifters to get the next layer. And I also got like a new level, like a higher level of understanding. So I'm more serene and more patient with my process.
Very cool. You know, they, in the ancient scriptures, they called that the peace that passes all understanding. There's no way to intellectually understand that because it doesn't come from the intellect. It comes from the presence of being in your life, whatever's going on. So that's fabulous. So do you have a question for Dr. Tim or a continuation of what you guys were doing yesterday?
No, I just want to thank.
If so, go for it.
I want to thank. I will listen to the show, however, because I don't remember really his questions or I just remember, that thing coming out and all the symptoms and the dizziness and everything. But after I hang up, like 3 minutes later, my enthusiasm was back. I felt the calmness and serenity, and I wrote down in another notebook what I have to work on. So I'm very pleased and very grateful for the help, for the support.
Fabulous. Well, it sounds like you processed through some pretty deep unconsciousness. Any thoughts for you, Tim?
Well, Nene, did you say that you did or did not get a chance to work on that mind shifter?
No, I'm going to do it on Saturday because of the time. Because I want, I take an hour 15, but I did do two worksheets, one last night about sacrifice. And another one today also on the same theme.
Okay, well, I would encourage you to, when you do that mind shifter, tweak it. If it, by the time you get to it on Saturday, if the words aren't quite as strongly resonating as they were to begin with, then shift them up just a little bit, but then do that mind shifter and let us know what comes from it. Because the idea of your being able to be okay with being independent, strong, competent, living in the world as a single person, that should stir up quite a bit based on what you were talking about yesterday, and then provide just a whole host of other worksheets for you to get rid of some old baggage. And as we talked about, it's probably a generational issue that's just really manifesting beautifully in your life to give you an opportunity to dump some more of the baggage.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yeah, yeah, I'm very disciplined, but I really want to take the time, you know, and be with my mind shifter and take the time really to process all that.
Understood.
Mm-hmm.
Understood.
But I keep
well,
my worksheets for the
right.
meantime. Let's keep you posted, guys. Wonderful. Thank you.
What number are you up to, Nene?
3,847.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Very cool. Well, congratulations on the work you're doing and the space you're opening on the planet.
Thank you very much. I'm very grateful.
Hey, delighted, honored. Glad to be on the team and have you on ours. Thank you. Thank you for your support all around.
Yes.
All right. Well, Jeannie, do we have anybody else in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room to be aware of?
One in the chat room. Hit mute because I'm...
Reverberating in your ear.
Reverberating.
Excuse
yes.
me. Yep, I got it. Just a second here.
So Lisa says that she turned on the chat room, walked in just as I typed in all of the above. said yesterday's show was great, and she could use support with procrastination. And she remembers, Michael, you saying that procrastination means too many goals firing, but it's in her face and has been for months. So she could use some support with that.
Well, if you go to the website, whyagain.org, is this Lisa Kamek?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Gee, I thought you're still over there in exotic lands playing. Are you back, I guess? Anyway, I wonder why there are too many goals. Here she is running around Europe like a crazy woman. Just having fun. That didn't sound like overwhelm or too much stress. That sounds like having fun. There were some great pictures you had in your Facebook posts. Anyway, so you might remember, since you did Laws of Living, that there's a thing called a Mind Goal Management Sheet. And so I'd suggest you get that out and go to work with it. And then you might remember that the first essay in Laws of Living from the first lesson is about stress. So I would support you in rereading that essay and recognizing that the way that stress is created is by setting a goal. And a lot of times we have many, many, many unconscious goals that we don't even know are there. And so, you know, at the end of the evening, before you go to sleep, it's a good idea to cancel all of your goals and then take a few minutes getting in tune with Rukka. For those who are new to the work, that's the short form for a literal elemental force in us, as pointed out by the Aramaic, that will undo the effects of errors and teach us the truth, and ask to be shown even where your unconscious goals are. If you've canceled all conscious goals and you're still overwhelmed and overstressed, then there are a lot of unconscious goals running, and you want to go in and begin to cancel those goals and just, you know, let go of directing the mind. You know, the mind can't let go of anything on its own. It's been called the monkey mind. And, you know, there's an example in India, monkey meat used to be a delicacy. And what they would do to trap monkeys is they'd take a coconut, they'd cut a small hole in the coconut just big enough for a monkey to squeeze its hand in. They'd nail the coconut to a tree. They'd put food in it that was attractive to the monkey. The monkey would climb along, squeeze its hand in the coconut, and grab a handful of food, thinking, I'm going to eat. And now that it's got a hold of that food, it can't get its hand out of the coconut, and the monkey's trapped. Now, you'd think that a monkey that's hand is now too big would be smart enough to figure out, well, I just need to let go of this food to get my hand out. But monkey meat used to be a delicacy, and that's how they trap monkeys in India. So this monkey body, monkey mind, it's nothing but a database that is run by goals. And whenever you set a goal, the setting of that goal sets in motion a stress that says to the mind, I need information to tell me how to do this, whatever the goal is, sane or insane. And now the mind starts to run wanting to satisfy that request. If we keep, 1,000 different goals going, conscious and unconscious, you know, people who go to bed at night and their mind keeps running, it just won't shut up. The reason that it won't shut up is because you've been telling it to keep working. So before you go to sleep, cancel every goal. And if you go to bed and your mind is still running, then stop and go, now let's see, what kind of information is my mind giving me so that I can back into understanding what the goal is that's running it? So if I'm laying there and, you know, gee, I'm trying to go to sleep, my mind's just, what's it worrying about? What's it doing? Well, you know, I had an argument with somebody 6 weeks ago, and, you know, here I am just rethinking that argument, thinking about, you know, gee, what I could have said, what they could have said, how it could have been different. So what that tells me is that you've given your mind a goal to figure out the argument that happened 6 weeks ago, and it's just doing its job. Cancel the goal to figure out the argument. Cancel the goal to figure out a solution. And then you've alleviated the mind of its job. It'll shut up because you haven't given it a job. And so the canceling goal becomes a major, major piece of the puzzle. And our culture hasn't taught us that. You know, I've never seen anywhere in the world where the culture teaches people to cancel goals. People might say something nasty and they'll go cancel that. But in terms of specifically recognizing that stress is created by goals and the mind is driven by those stresses, I've not seen anywhere where it says cancel the goal. If you've ever gone to a goal-setting workshop, you know, a goal-oriented workshop, you'll notice the person who goes in there went in with a certain amount of stress and comes out with double the stress, because what they were counseled to do was to sit there during the workshop, and, you know, maybe it was a weekend-long workshop, so they were counseled to write their goals for their lives, you know, their whole lifetime goal or goals. And then they brought it down to, you know, and what are you going to achieve in the next 20 years and write your goals, and what are you going to achieve this year and write your goals, and what are you going to achieve this month and write your goals, and what are you going to achieve this week and write your goals, and what are you going to achieve today? Now go home and go to bed. And you just put in 1,000 requests to the mind that says, oh my God, you want me to keep working on all that stuff at one time? No. Cancel all of those goals. Go to sleep stress-free. No goals running. No need for the mind to run. And then you close your eyes, you take a couple of breaths and say, I'm ready to sleep, and choop, you're asleep. It's the way it's designed to be. Unless you've assigned your mind a task, and then it won't shut up. So I've been digging out the Mind Goal Management Sheet and the Essay on Stress from Laws of Living, and I think you'll have a leg. It sounds like you're ready to learn that process. I know you went through it this summer, but it sounds like you're ready to learn that on a whole new level. So, cool, great, and we're here to support you with any support we can give you. Does that seem to answer the question? And on the topic of canceling goals, you know, that's a new idea to most people. They've never been taught that such a thing was possible. And so I just do a very brief example of what it would be like to cancel a goal and how behavior issues from goals. And so I'm going to ask you to imagine that about 3 feet in front of your face, 2.5 feet, there's a red rubber ball. And then I'm going to ask you to reach out and take a hold of the ball. Our workshop, I do that. You know, most people in the room will reach their hand up to reach for this ball. And then I invite them to just let go of the ball. And I ask the question, why did you reach for that ball? The people who have a problem with authority say they reach for the ball because I told them to. In other words, they had a power person who, if the power person framed a goal for them, they were forced into achieving that goal, or at least doing their best to achieve it. And so they unconsciously created stress around things that made it look like the outside was creating the stress. So canceling the goal, let's see what that looks like. Imagine there's a red rubber ball, and by the way, the reason you reach for the ball is because you set a goal. I can't set a goal in your mind. I framed one, reach for the ball, but you've got to set the goal in order for you to do a behavior that's going to carry the goal out. So now, once again, I'm going to invite you to see the red rubber ball in front of you and imagine reaching your hand out to get it. And when your arm gets about halfway to the ball, just cancel your goal to reach for the ball. What happened? You put your arm down. You didn't keep reaching for the ball. You just changed your behavior. You always change behavior when you cancel a goal, because a goal is at the root of all behavior prompts. So I hope that's helpful. And if there are any other thoughts or questions, go ahead and ask them, or, you know, call the number and say hello. Tell us a little bit about your trip.
She said that was marvelous, and we have two callers.
Great. Let's say hello.
Okay, the first one is Julie, wanted back in for a moment. So 541.
541.
Julie.
Thank you.
What's on your mind, young lady?
Well, I wanted to respond to Nene calling back in and thank her for mentioning that she did some worksheets and got to this place of being patient with her process. And I just wanted to point out that for me, that really relieved me also, because one of the things that I focused on in her process yesterday was failure. That one just stood out for me. And you know, prior to that, Dr. Tim and Michelle were talking about the question of doing a worksheet when you're not really in touch with the fear, when it's not really happening, and getting back to it. But when you do finally do a worksheet, and that was really helpful, although I cannot remember how in this moment, but it relieved me from this feeling of failure, and I'm carrying failure around a lot. And canceling the goal, like you were just talking about, would handle that if I could give myself permission to, I guess, allow myself to feel what I think failure is, and let myself get through that. So I wanted to bring those points up because I think yesterday, plus it's coming up for me, but yesterday, one more quick point, Nene and Dr. Tim, I somehow was listening so carefully, and that was one of her issues. So she may not have gotten a chance to listen again, but definitely it's one of mine, and so I'm working with it also. And it's so great to have a team, to know that there's some compassion and understanding for this this stuff when it comes up, you know?
Breathe.
So,
breathe. We're breathing
yeah.
with you, dear heart.
Thank you. Yeah, so I'm pretty hard on myself, and it just it exaggerates and what is the word? It escalates the failure all the more. by my
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask a question? That's just probably one of those crazy offhanded guesses, but...
Oh, no. Yes, I'm not doing
oh,
my work.
No, that wasn't my question. Is that a guilty question?
I'm failing at that. That's what I'm failing at, yes.
Well, what I want to focus on is your words where you said, I'm hard on myself. And what I'm going to invite you to do is to tap in to how it felt when your power person was being hard on you.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So
and
under
all the
stress
behaviors
is replicating.
That I created after that, too, just to try to get approval and everything else.
Yeah. It's a lot of stress. And every one of those behaviors had a goal behind it, which just created more stress.
Mm-hmm.
See, behavior follows stress. Mm-hmm. Behavior follows goals.
Oh.
So it might be time to go in and do some worksheets around canceling your goal to be approved of by your power person, accepted by your power person, to cancel the goal for your power person to cherish you, to cancel your goal for your power person to treat you lovingly, gently, and with respect. Because you'll notice that your power person isn't here, and you're doing it to yourself now.
Yeah.
Exact same game.
And that's freedom, if I can let myself. You know, Michael, thank you. Just I keep waiting for permission from my power person to set me free from all of those goals, and they're not going to do it for me.
That's
right. Know, so I,
well,
I've got
they
the
never,
key, not them.
Yeah, and they never set those goals for you. You set the goals. Some of those goals may be so foreign to their minds that if you had a conversation with them and said, well, when you expected me to do thus and so, they'd look at you like, what are you talking about, kid? I never had any such thought for you.
It was a frame, and I said it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And even if they did frame it for me, what?
Other people can frame goals for us, but we're the only ones that can set them.
Yeah, and so they could have forgotten all about it, and you know, and once my behavior changed to suit what they were framing for me. But
yeah.
How could I forget? I forever set it in me because I thought I had to, and I can unforever that. And it's time for me to get out of
time
prison.
To... Yay! Absolutely.
Yeah.
A lot of grief in that
prison. So the other side is the fear of what's it going to be like when I get out of prison? You know,
liberty.
Can I handle the power of the love of everything awesome that I am?
Mm-hmm.
When I've been
sure can.
Holding it back for so long.
Yeah. It'll be delightful, joyful, alive, maybe bring up some fear, but that's okay.
I can cancel those goals of my expectation of what I would have been if I hadn't been in prison. I mean, what do people think about when they're in prison, you know? And I've spent lifetimes, I'm sure. So I'm getting through some big stuff, and I'm really...
That sounds like it. That's awesome.
Grateful.
Very cool.
Okay, I know there was another caller, and I just wanted to check in with some truth here and also a little bit more information about yesterday's show. So I will do a mind shifter or something soon. Let's see. I bet
you
have a good one.
We'll be holding the space.
It is,
all right. Take care.
It is safe and healing. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And then they came back in the chat room and hold on. And she said that what came up for her was not being good enough in re-listening to what Dr. Tim said. And then after Julie just shared, then she says, I am also doing those cancellations. Thank you. And it stirred some sadness as she heard them. So she is working on that as well. And our other caller is area code 517. So you are on the air. Who do we have? 517.
Give us a name. Where are you calling from, 517? Besides Lansing, Michigan. Hello, Lansing. You're on the air. I guess Lansing's attention got distracted. We've got about 10 minutes, Lansing, if you have a thought for us. Okay, well, we'll wait and see if, you know, they may have been temporarily distracted, moved away from the call, or had another call come in and were on hold. So half of the world is waiting on hold. Well, we do have about 10 minutes left. So if any of this conversation is making sense to you, you know, very few people would recognize the Greek version of Yeshua's words in this regard around stress as having anything to do with stress. The passage that you read where it says, sufficient for the day are the evils thereof.
They're back.
They're back. Oh, well, let's say hello.
Hey.
Hello?
517? Yes. Hi.
Oh, hi. I'm sorry. I guess I have a hard time pushing the right prompt to get in. I am calling from Lansing. I called the other day, had a couple questions, and when I was just listening today, I'm left with a question of, like, the traditional definition of a goal, and you guys talk about canceling goals. That's not, like, the goal you set for something for yourself. Is there a different meaning?
No, that's it. When I make a commitment to produce a result in my life, or I have a belief that someone else should fulfill a commitment that I want them to fulfill, then I've set a goal. So it can be anything as simple as, you know, by 5 o'clock I'm going to wipe the dishes, wash the dishes. Well, I got this sink full of dishes, and it's okay that they're there, and it's 3 o'clock, and I have no stress about it. 4 o'clock, I have no stress about it. But I've really made a commitment to have the dishes, do the dishes at 5 o'clock. All of a sudden, I look at my watch, it's 5 o'clock, and a stress arises in my mind. And that stress prompts me to do a behavior. Oh, I'm going to get up from my computer. I'm going to walk over to the sink. I'm going to open the dishwasher. I'm going to rinse the dishes, put them away, and get the dishwasher started. So the stress is what caused my mind to show me behaviors that would help me to achieve my goal. 2,000 years ago when Yeshua says, sufficient for the day are the evils thereof. The word evil there in Aramaic is would be more properly understood as unripened or incomplete. So in Aramaic, evil means like if you had a really green banana, that green banana would be evil. Not that there's anything wrong with it, the Greek sense of the word, oh, evil. It's just not complete, not ready to eat. It's not ripe. It's not finished. And so when Yeshua says sufficient for the day are the evils thereof, he's saying don't have any more goals on your plate, things that you're committed to achieving, than what you can do in the next waking period. Otherwise, you'll be using mental resources that will leave you deficient in the capacity to achieve the goals that you want to do. So, and what happens when people, you know, their to-do list, and if you think about any time that you've procrastinated, go back to a day where you remember, boy, I was really procrastinating that day, and then take a mental look at your to-do list, and it was 10 miles long. Nobody could have accomplished that much. And what happens is when we create that much stress in the mind says, I quit. I'm not going to do it. You can give me all the goals you want now. I'm just not going to do it because I am so overloaded with stress. All my resources are used up. I quit. When I go in and cancel goals, it's kind of like, you know, you've got your computer operating and you've got one program open and it works really well. You got two programs open, works very well. You got three programs open, it's maybe slowing down a tad. By the time you get 10 programs open, the computer crashes because all the resources are used up. So canceling a goal is like closing, you know, I close my writing program. I close my word processor. I close my CAD program, my drawing program. I close my database. I close my email. And the only thing I've got open is my browser. Well, now my browser's snappy. It runs. It goes. It does what I want it to do. But with all those other programs open, if I try to get my browser into action, the whole computer will crash.
So you should only ever set short-term goals?
Well, there's no such thing as a long-term goal.
Okay.
The proper definition of a goal would be that which I am going to achieve in the next waking period. Now, I may string a series of 1,000 goals together to achieve a bigger result. You know, Jeannie oftentimes when she talks about this, talks about when she decided she was going to get her BA. Well, she spent 3 years, and there were 10,000 goals. I mean, this woman worked like a Trojan, you know, getting these goals completed to get books, to get into classes, to write papers, to do everything it took to do that. Each of those, though, if she had tried to do what she could only do 2 years out today, it would have been a useless engagement of resources. So a goal is something I'm going to achieve in the next waking period. And I don't want to make a commitment to anything beyond that in terms of a goal. If I'm going to say, you know, get my degree, then I'm going to set up a plan for getting my degree. And then based on that plan, you know, today I can apply for grants. Tomorrow the bookstore is open. I can get my books. The next day is registration for classes. I can get my registration. But if I try to register for classes today, if I put that in as a goal and it becomes a behavior problem, I just wasted my time because registration doesn't open for 3 days. So I'm only going to set as a goal, make a commitment to achieving something that I can achieve in the next waking period, and I'm going to preserve my resources and create everything else as plans. Does that make sense?
Okay. It does. So when you say cancel it, you're just saying that if there's something you didn't get to within the day, don't stress or worry about it. Put it till the next day or restart and make it your goal for the next day?
Well, it may be, you know, let's say that the bookstore where I have to get my my school books is only open on Friday in it's summertime and it's only open on Fridays. And, you know, I had a goal to get to the bookstore and get my books yesterday and there was a traffic snarl up and I got there late, it was closed. Well, it wouldn't make any sense for me to put in my goal sheet for Saturday because the store's not open, or Sunday or Monday or Tuesday. But I'll put it in my planner so that next Friday when I'm setting up my day, or pardon me, next Thursday when I'm setting up my day for Friday, I put that reminder in my planner that, okay, tomorrow the bookstore is open and we're going to get our books taken care of. And we're going to do that by 10 o'clock in the morning so that no matter what happens, we get it done instead of getting caught in traffic. So now, Friday morning or Thursday night, I look at my planner and I go, oh, yeah, before 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, I'm going to set the goal to do that. And I wake up at 8 o'clock and bang, there's a stress in my mind. And I get on the phone and I get the directions to the bookstore and I find out if they got the book. And I'm over there by 10 o'clock and I've got the book because I had a stress. And that stress prompted me to do the behaviors to achieve the result. The functioning purpose of the mind is to give us the directions that will assist us out of the data that it's got, give us the best directions possible to produce a result. And that's
okay,
all something that comes from our workshop called, our DVD called Getting the Stress You Need.
Getting the Stress You Need?
Getting the Stress You Need, yes.
Okay. It gave me a clearer understanding of it because I've been listening to you guys say that and I just often wondered what exactly it meant. So I have an understanding.
That's it. Good. And if there's more clarification that's needed, then be delighted to have the next conversation with you. In the meantime, we're down to the last 30 seconds or so. So I'm just going to say, everybody, thanks for participating. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye.
I choose to live more consciously.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and myself, Jeannie Rice, as we present the Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here every Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mindshifters Radio. For more on Michael or myself or Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.